friends, and welcome to another Cup of Joe podcast on this Friday, November the 29th. And wherever you are, whenever you are listening to this, I wish you God's grace. I wish you God's life. I wish you God's goodness as we begin a new liturgical year on this, the first weekend, the first Sunday of Advent. And with me today, I have a special guest. I will let her introduce herself.
Hello, this is Bridget, Joe's favorite daughter, and I am home for the holidays, and he's letting me join in the podcast today.
It is wonderful to have Bridget. She has been on here numerous other times, at least a handful, right?
Yeah.
And the music that you just heard as the podcast began, that was Bridget who composed that and played it. And that'll be the outtake music here as well. So together we are going to share this pod and give our thoughts as to what we're doing, what we're hearing, at least in the readings this weekend. For those who like to read along with, here's what we're going to be reading from. First reading is from Jeremiah. It's chapter 33, verses 14 to 16. So a brief reading there. And then our gospel reading is out of Luke. Again, now we have moved into year C. Luke chapter 21, which is odd, right? You know, you'd think that we'd be in the infancy narratives at the beginning. No, we're still kind of talking end of the world kind of things. Luke 21, verses 25 to 28, and then we skip ahead to 34 to 36, all right? So if that didn't sufficiently confuse you, just trust these are the readings you're going to hear this weekend. So as always, brothers and sisters, before we break open God's word, however that is that you prepare yourself so that you may receive it well, I invite you to do that at this time, that the word of God may find a home within you.
A reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and Judah. In those days, in that time, I will raise up for David a just shoot. He shall do what is right and just in the land. In those days, Judah shall be safe, and Jerusalem shall dwell secure. This is what they shall call her. The Lord our justice. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. And brothers and sisters, I often say, if there was a word, if there was an image, if there was an idea, if a thought came to you just out of the blue, I'm sure you've heard that reading, you know, many times anyway. If you heard it anew in some way, let the Spirit of God work within and through you during that, through that word, through that idea, through that image, through that new thought. And let the Spirit just do what the Spirit needs to do. One of the ways, as always, I say that God continues to speak to us today. So let's continue on to our gospel reading that we're going to hear this weekend.
A reading from the Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on earth nations will be in dismay, perplexed by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will die of fright in anticipation of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these signs begin to happen, stand erect and raise your heads, because your redemption is at hand. Beware that your hearts do not become drowsy from carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of daily life, and that day catch you by surprise like a trap. For that day will assault everyone who lives on the face of the earth. Be vigilant at all times and pray that you have the strength to escape the tribulations that are imminent and to stand before the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so let's do a little framework, and then I'm going to pass it over to Bridgie to give her first thoughts on it. So Jeremiah, brothers and sisters, is writing during the period either approaching the Babylonian exile or in the Babylonian exile. That is important. Why? Because the people of, okay, so the kingdom of Israel, which is the northern kingdom, has already been 150 years ago destroyed. They're gone, effectively. And the kingdom of Judah is going to be, or already has been, taking away into slavery. I mean, 90% of the population. Those are incredibly hectic, hopeless, frustrating, despairing, losing their very image of who they thought they were and knew themselves to be times, okay? Important that we know that. Also, why are we listening to Luke chapter 21? Because, brothers and sisters, remember the liturgical year ended last week, and it begins again this week. We don't pretend that all of history, salvation history, hasn't happened, that we're back now before the time of Jesus and we just try to pretend that he hasn't come. No, I mean, time is spiraling, not circular. And so we understand the history behind it. But I think what I think, and this is just my guess, what those who put together the liturgical calendar are trying to remind us is that deaths and births both kind of contain that liminal space, that time when I feel out of control and I feel like there's chaos and I'm not sure I'm grounded or what's happening and I feel anxious. And I think that's what they're trying to capture through Jesus's words here, because clearly that's what he's speaking to. And so we are in a moment in this reading and in oftentimes in our lives where we may carry that anxiety as well. So that's a little background as to what the word is opening up to us. And so, Bridge, let me hand it over to you and just share, how did these readings, in what way or ways did they strike you as you just pondered and prayed over them?
Well, I'm really excited about this Luke, the Gospel from Luke. I think that it's really cool that it's starting out Advent with this reading from this Gospel, because I really like the parallel of waiting for Jesus to come, except in this gospel reading, it's Jesus coming for the second time and not for his birth. But I love that we're starting out Advent with that parallel. Well, we're waiting for Jesus's birth and we're trying to, put our minds and bodies there, while also this is acknowledging that, you know what, after Jesus's first coming, things aren't going to be perfect still. And we can put ourselves in this reading and say, yeah, I mean, things are going to be scary. And we're still in that limbo of waiting for Jesus. This isn't something that's in the past. This is something that's the here and now of today.
I think that's really well said. Now, there may be those of you out there who think Bridgie and I rehearsed this. We had no idea what each other's going to say. We just turn it on and put a microphone in front of us and we roll. I love that, Bridge, because at Christmas, in Advent, we're preparing, as you said, not let's pretend Jesus is going to be born in a manger again. There are the three comings of Christ that we prepare for and we honor and we celebrate. And the first is, of course, Jesus is coming in the incarnation 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. The second is Jesus is coming in this moment today. And the third, of course, is this preparing for Jesus at the end of time and whenever that and however that looks. And this reading really looks not only at the one at the end of time, because it uses that imagery, but it also, in my estimation, talks about Jesus coming into our lives in this moment. And I'll use two examples that struck me in this. And that is this, okay, so Jesus uses, there'll be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and the earth and nations will be in despair and dismay and all these things. But I liked the line, and I'm trying to find it, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. That, I mean, brothers and sisters, when our lives feel shaken by whatever events are happening within us personally, within us in our families, within our relationships, within our culture, our world, whatever. And we could just tick them off. We know them. But whatever, when we feel our earth, our world, our life is shaken, I think these readings speak equally to that, to this moment now, as it does to the end of time. And Jesus says, when this happens, stand erect, raise your heads, because your redemption is at hand, meaning I am right there. I'm ready to come. And he says, at that time, don't let your hearts become drowsy from carousing or drunkenness, which I think it's easy for me to fall into, oh yeah, okay, so stay away from carousing and drunkenness. But I think the key line is the next one, and the anxieties of daily life, because that's how you miss me. He says, when you're not grounded, when you're unsettled, when your world is shaken, it may not be from carousing and drunkenness and all the wild stuff that we think of when we think of sin. It's probably, most likely, our own anxieties in daily life. And because we're caught up in those, we miss Christ's coming in intimate and beautiful and personal ways in this moment. Bridge, thoughts on that or other thoughts?
So I'm glad you pointed out those lines, because I, of course, have thoughts on those lines. I think the first, because you just left off on touching on the anxieties of daily life, something that to me, I just like resonated with me is I think that it says, beware that your hearts do not become drowsy from carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of daily life. It doesn't say to me that you are bad for having anxieties of daily life. No. It doesn't say that. Yeah, exactly. And I think that it's really important to point out and validate that those anxieties are real. I mean, we're human, but we can't let that have the power over us to not be in touch with our Lord and to be ready for our Lord to come. And I think that it relates really perfectly to this line at the end of the first reading that says, the Lord, your justice. Mm-hmm. And I love that, because it's just, it's saying that this, the Lord is for you. The Lord is here for you. And these anxieties of your daily life are not your justice. What's your justice is the coming of the Lord, your Savior. And so don't let those anxieties take over, because that's not what your salvation is. And that leads me right to this other line that says, this is from the gospel again. I'm jumping around a little bit, but it says, but when these signs begin to happen, stand erect and raise your heads, because your redemption is at hand. And I really like the use of your redemption is at hand, because I think multiple times in throughout the Gospels, we just see redemption is at hand, which is beautiful. That's beautiful, because it's redemption for, you know, all. And but I love this ownership of your redemption. It's not just saying, you know, Jesus is going to come and make everything better, but it's Jesus is coming for you. Mm-hmm. Jesus is coming to make your life better.
I love that. I think, again, I think our God is that personal, and our God loves us that intimately, and that's, it's amazing, actually. As you were talking, when you were talking about the anxieties of daily life, I love one of my favorite parables Jesus tells is when the owner of I think he uses this king imagery, but he's getting a feast and setting it for his son, and I don't need to just use the male imagery, that's just what the parable is. And so, but anyway, this person is having a feast for their beloved one, and he sends their servants out into the community and says, invite everybody, you know, those who are invited, go get them. And somebody says, well, you know, I just got married, pray hold me excuse, or I just bought a farm, pray hold me excuse, or I have to be about business, pray hold me excuse. And so they don't come to the feast. And then he gets angry and he says, go out to the hedgerows and the highways, bring everybody in, because my table must be filled. And I love that, because it really points to the things that keep us away from the kingdom are daily normal things. It is nothing wrong with business, nothing wrong with getting married, nothing wrong with, you know, buying cows or whatever it is that we're about. Those are good things.
I would love a cow.
So we might be buying one for Christmas for Bridgie. But I mean, we're not going to excuse ourselves from life. And I don't think God is inviting us to. I think what Bridgie said is right. But it's saying we cannot let those keep us from the kingdom. I agree. I have a thought on the first reading, but before we do that, I want to hand this back over to you to see if you've got... Oh, she gave me the nope. Go right on ahead. So again, brothers and sisters, here's what I'd say for me that speaks to me in this first reading, and I'm sure Jeremiah has so much more there. But this was a people in despair. I mean, we think things are troubled in our world today. Brothers and sisters, this was a people who were captive, who were taken away from their homeland. The temple, which was the very center of their identity, of who they were as a people connected to God, that God was in their midst and they were the beloved of God, was destroyed, and they were taken off the land which was promised to them. They lost the two things that made them who they were, and they were taken captive, and they no longer not only, I mean, were apart from their families, their friends, their home. They didn't know who they were, and they were lost. And into that reading comes, or into that space comes Jeremiah telling them, brothers and sisters, the days are coming when the Lord will fulfill the promise. In those days, a just shoot is going to raise up, and Judah shall be safe. You're going to be okay. Jerusalem will dwell secure. He's bringing hope into a situation that is without hope. Now, brothers and sisters, they may have thought, oh, okay, we're just going to hope for it, and we'll see it in a month, or we'll see it in 6 months, or a year, or 5 years. They didn't see it. Some of that generation never went back to Israel, to Judah and Jerusalem. Some of them, and ultimately, what Jeremiah is pointing to, of course, is Jesus is coming. And that didn't happen for another 580 years. But ultimately, it reminds us that life wins. God wins. Evil, whatever is destroying us, whatever is shaking our heavens, whatever is going on in our lives personally, and whatever is going on in the world, does not have the final say. God does. Life does. Goodness does. And the same words of Jeremiah, he speaks to us today. Let them bring hope to you in whatever situation and whatever ungrounding place you are in.
Yeah, I think that's beautiful. I don't know that I can really follow that. But I might kind of turn the ship a little bit.
turn the ship. Time to go.
And this is something that just popped out to me while I was rereading the first reading while you were talking. but this might be something that is maybe uncomfortable or a little people are unsure about, but I just ask that you open your hearts and open your minds to what Jesus is telling you here. But just popped out to me in the end of the first reading. It says, in those days Judah shall be safe and Jerusalem shall dwell secure, and this is what they shall call her, the Lord our justice. And I don't know, it's really it's specific and calls out to me the use of the pronoun her. And I think it just shows, it emphasizes in a subtle other way in this reading that God is beyond our binaries and our logics that we have, and God is more than that. It's more than the structures we have of this world. God is more than the anxieties we have in this world. God is man and woman and in between and beyond. And I think that word usage, I mean, it's intentional, and I think it's beautiful, and I think it's not the point of the reading, and it also emphasizes in the reading that God is just so much more than our daily lives.
Beautifully said, and I love that. And I think that could only be said by you, and wouldn't carry the weight that if I were to have said it, but I couldn't agree more, and I love it. I love it. My friends, we are going to take all this now to prayer, unless, Bridgie, you have any final thoughts from the gospel, from the first reading, before we go to prayer.
None. Zip.
We've exhausted everything we got on this end.
There is to say about these two readings. We have said it all, folks.
All in like 20 minutes or less. Hey, I mean, this is something. So again, brothers and sisters, let's take all this to prayer. And we continue through the glorious mysteries. And so we begin in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The fifth glorious mystery, Mary is crowned Queen of Heaven. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell. Lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, thank you for being with Bridgie and I. Bridgie, any final words for anyone listening?
Thanks for having me.
Brothers and sisters, have a wonderful first weekend of Advent. May your week ahead be filled with every good blessing. Be well, and God's peace.